are listening to the Tricorder Transmissions.
Shore Leave, Episode 30, STLV 2017, Questions from our Facebook group.
Just what the doctor ordered. Right, doctor?
I couldn't have prescribed better.
This is your captain speaking, and I am pleased to inform you that you have been granted shore leave. This is episode 30, an STLV supplemental of Shore Leave, your Star Trek convention community podcast. I am your host, Heather Barker, and with me, as always, is the one, the only, the authentic Santa Gorn, my co-host, Jeff Hewlett. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing wonderful, and I am not in costume, so I don't need my universal translator. Everyone should be able to understand me, I hope.
You know, when you were in that thing, I can't even understand you.
Yeah, it's really hard.
I think we're going to maybe have some modifications for next year to make it a bit more comfortable for Santa Gorn to navigate the crowds.
For sure. I need some help from some professional cosplayers. Some advice from you guys out there in the field who I know who are so much better at this than I am.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so tonight, this is just you and me. Mm-hmm. The last episode that we did, we talked about pretty much everything that happened in STOV, and we talked so much that we ran out of time to address our listener feedback that we asked for in the unofficial Star Trek Las Vegas convention group. So we're going to do that tonight, and then at the end of this episode, we are going to include the mini interviews that we did with our listeners at STLV.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I felt we always talk so much on these episodes, and we always go long, and I kind of had a feeling that was going to happen on the last episode, but it's a good thing. More shore leave is always a good thing.
Yeah, I think that, who was it, Eric in the group was like, I sense another three-part episode when we posted.
Right. He was so right.
Yeah, I realized that even in the first episode we did for this recap, we still didn't touch base on certain things. I've been listening to all the various STLV recap podcasts from our friends out there, and I'm like, oh, we didn't talk about that, or, you know, we missed that thing, oh no. But I don't know. I don't know that our people would want a three-part recap episode.
Well, you know what? They may happen to get it because we still have to catch up with some of our vendor friends.
That we do. That we do. I've been chatting with a few of them, and I know that Mickey's got some stuff to talk about.
Nice.
So we'll
I was talking
have to
with
touch
Lou
base.
Earlier today. So
oh, yeah.
We're going to have to get fan sets back on, too.
Yeah. Well, oh, okay. Well, then I have to mark our calendars.
Part three.
That one may take a little bit longer to get to, but I'm sure we'll get to it. So what do you think? Do you want to just jump right into this listener feedback in the group?
Absolutely. There's a lot of it. I was so surprised and happy with the amount of comments we got on the thread that you posted. You know, if you want to start off, you can go ahead and jump in.
Yeah, sure. So my great friend Kat McKenzie brings up a pretty controversial subject that happens pretty much every year before and after the convention, and that is the need to have the Q&As at the panels moderated.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a subject that I'm kind of iffy talking about. Because it's so controversial and because I don't know what the solution is, I kind of feel that at the end of the day, no matter what happens, people are going to be unhappy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And this is something that I've been hearing about since I started coming to conventions, the STLV convention 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And I just don't know if there's a really great solution to this because, I mean, I can see both sides. And, you know, as someone who sat in the audience for a lot of panels, I can really see the need for some sort of moderation. But then again, from a fan's point of view, you know, it's I don't know if this is something that's ever really going to be solved. And the only thing that I would say to people who are really adamant about this is just, you know, contact creation and let them know what you think. Because, you know, we've been talking about this in the group forever, and we've talked about it on the podcast a couple times. And I know some of our regulars are in the moderation camp, but you know, I don't know where I fully stand on it. I'm really on the fence on it. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it's tough. I do think that for the sake of fairness, I would like to see a variety of people asking questions. Mm. I think, you know, for me, I don't necessarily want to hear the same person ask the same question.
Agreed.
For every guest that's up there. And I know that that doesn't happen all of the time, but it certainly happens some of the time. And just based on that, I think that having a wider variety of questions would be great. It's everything happens really quickly. So unless you're submitting your questions like days before the panel, I think it's kind of a lot to ask someone to sit there and go through questions, you know, right as the panel's happening, right as people are coming up and say, no, that question's not good. Or I think that would just be very difficult.
I agree with you. And I think that would be heartbreaking, honestly. Getting up and asking a question at those panels is tough enough, right? I don't know. I've never actually gotten up at STLV and asked a question, even though I've wanted to. And I would think that would be so heartbreaking if you were a fan and you had your chance to ask the question that you really wanted to ask and someone told you, no, that's not a good question to ask, or yeah, we're going to reject you. That would be horrible. And I really don't think that that's something that creation would really want to do. And I don't even know if that was something that most of the actors would want either.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that really the best solution would be having questions sent in, you know, days yeah. prior or something, and yeah. then randomly selected. And then I suppose the group moderator would read them off. But then at that point, you know, then you've completely lost the opportunity yep. for those fans to connect
exactly
with the actors on stage. And, you know, say what you will about the people that come up and tell a story that you may not like. We get such negative feedback, and it's disheartening at times because, you know, like you said, it's not easy to go up and ask a question. And many people have gone up and found themselves, you know, admitting personal truths that they didn't yeah, expect to absolutely. Admit. And I don't know. It's tough. It's really tough. I understand too.
I think it's a struggle because who is it really about? Is it about the actor on the stage receiving the question? Is it about the person pouring their heart out and asking the question they really want to ask? Or is it about the people in the audience who are listening to the answer? And in my mind, the people in the audience listening to the answer to the question may be the last in that chain. It's so hard. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to offend anybody. And that's why I'm trying to edit myself here. And I don't want to come across as being negative towards all the people who are expressing this concern, because I share this concern too, in a way. But I see this from a 30,000 foot zoomed out view. There's so many different factors involved. And as much as I would like to see the amount of time spent by people asking the questions shortened, so more people can ask questions, you know, there are so many downsides as well. So I don't know. I really don't think there's a great and perfect answer to this.
No, I think it's important to embrace objectivism and to yeah. look at it from all perspectives. Just as you said, the person asking the question, the person answering the question, and the audience. And I can judge, you know, I can see from all perspectives.
Yep.
You know, where there are problems, and I understand. And sure, on some occasions, some of those more personal questions that are asked may be better served at an autograph or a photo op, or as I've said before, at a smaller convention where mm-hmm. actors are more accessible. But yeah. at the same time, some of those actors don't go to smaller conventions. So again, as I said when we started talking about this, I don't think that there is like one easy solution. So I'll, you know, agree with you that the best thing that anyone can do is contact creation, as we encourage over and over again. Let them know. I don't know if they're going to do anything at this point. I mean, this is my ninth year attending, and you know, years ago I think I recommended some kind of moderation with the questions, mm-hmm. and I know that a lot of people have done the same and nothing happened. So we'll see. But, you know, as I always say, if you take them constructive criticism, then they're mm-hmm. certainly going to look at that more than they would just negative criticism.
let's be honest here and say that people have complained in the group and to us personally. Now, it stands to reason that in all these years, people have also complained about this to creation, right? There's no way I can possibly believe that no one has sent emails to creation asking for moderation and nothing has happened. So chances are it's not going to change. So I think we collectively need to just accept it and get used to it and take it for what it is. And, you know, as much as we would like to see something like that happen, we need to be willing to accept the fact that it's going to continue the way it is. And that's good for the people who are asking the questions, to be honest. I mean, and there are some actors who are good at answering those questions that are a little bit awkward, and there are some that are not. And I think we as audience members, we have the choice of whether or not we want to sit through them or not. And yeah. I think it's we need to take that responsibility on ourselves. And I'm sorry if that offends anybody out there. And I'm one of you. I've never asked a question. I sit in the audience all the time, and I've complained about this too. So I get it. But, you know, I think in my mind, I would want to side with the fan that's asking the question because it's a personal moment for those people. And I would never want to take that away from them.
Yeah. And I get that. We're that way. But again, I also don't want to hear the same person asking the same question of every celebrity.
Of course.
So on that note, you know, my solution for that would be having the same volunteer, which is difficult to have one volunteer handle this, but or at least a team of volunteers familiar with the people coming up and asking questions and just saying, you know, you asked a question for the last panel. We'd like to let this person come. And then if there's room at the end, then you can ask the question. I think that is only fair. I know it's a first come, first serve type thing, but with everything that goes on at the convention, it's not always easy to get up there at the very first minute. Some people do. I mean, I think some people just kind of camp out and wait to get first in line. And, you know, on a sad note, I heard that, you know, some of those people were not courteous to other people in line as well. And that upsets me because that's not the spirit of and I don't know that it was people in our group, but it's not in the spirit of our group, not in the spirit of Star Trek, most certainly. But I think trying to find some way to allow different people access to ask questions is probably the most likely form of action that creation would take in bringing change to the Q&A process.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? I'm just going to take 1 minute to say also, since you expressed that, I'm also going to say that I unfortunately overheard during one of the panels that I sat in on people in the audience, and hopefully nobody online did this, but the young handicapped man with the speech impediment that asks questions at a lot of the panels, I heard people making fun of him. And I'm sure none of the people listening to the show were among them, but shame on you for doing that. That guy, he loves Star Trek, and he loves those actors and actresses, and it takes a lot of guts for him to get up there and ask those questions. So, you know, I would ask that anybody who has an issue with these questions that get asked, please respect the people that have the guts to ask them.
That's sad.
I'll get off my soapbox.
All right, let's move on to another topic from Kat, actually, that I think is a really great suggestion. And that is, she had attended a con back in May that offered makeup and prosthetic classes.
Ooh.
And, you know, is asking if it would be possible for creation to do that, which we can only pass on to creation, you know, encourage people to, since we're not affiliated with creation. But I think that's a really cool idea. Yeah. I know absolutely nothing about prosthetics, and I don't even wear makeup most days. So when it comes to professional makeup, I have no experience, let's just be frank. So I think that's a really neat idea and suggestion. And so that's one that I really encourage everyone to contact creation about if it's something that they'd also be interested in. You know, we're what are we? 347 days.
Oh, you're starting to count down already.
Oh yeah. You know, we're a ways out from next year, and I don't know like what the shape of that third stage is going to be, if it's going to be CBS All Access again, or back to Roddenberry, or something entirely different. But I, you know, like Kat mentions here, Eric Allen Hall's cosplay presentation that was on the CBS All Access stage, and I think Brooke Wilkins was up there, and a couple other cosplayers just, you know, talking about cosplay. And I didn't sit on any of them, unfortunately, so I don't know the specifics of what was said, but it seems like those were well received and helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, I know they do, like, they had John Paladin, and then they have Michael Westmore apply prosthetics, and like, what did Michael Westmore do? He did a Borg the other year. I don't think he did anything on stage this year, come to think of it.
I don't think he did.
I don't remember seeing anything, but last year I think it was a Borg.
I think it was a Borg.
He did Chakotay. He did Robert Beltran's Chakotay makeup. And then, of course, he did Terry Farrell back in 2014, I think that was.
Yeah, yep, I think
which
you're right.
That was that amazing time when she came out in her Klingon wedding dress.
Yep.
Oh, so amazing. But yeah, I think that some kind of small scale, like a class,
yeah,
on that would be really, really neat. And
absolutely.
I think something like that, I mean, I can't speak for Kat. She didn't mention this, and I can't speak for anyone else, but I would pay something to do that,
yeah,
like $25. I would rather pay $25 to do that than to go to a panel. I'll tell you that.
No, I totally would too. And as somebody who is lamenting the fact that I have very little cosplay creativity skills aside from buying stuff and putting it on, I've really been gaining so much respect for the creative people who put together these incredible costumes and the makeup that they do. And I would love to know more about that myself. And I would gladly sit in on something like this. And like you, I would gladly pay for that more than, you know, the panel that we had to pay for this year. So I would seriously urge everybody out there who's even remotely interested in this, you know, contact Creation and let them know, because this is the kind of stuff I think that would be great material for that third stage that Heather was talking about.
And I'm going to chime in quickly before we move on that my friend Janice, she had her own booth this year, and I'm trying to think of what the name of her booth was, because she does paintings. And so at her booth, she was kind of across, like, she was right behind Nichelle Nichols. And so she had all of her art. And then at one point, I think she was doing little classes and having people come, like, learn to paint. And so, and it wasn't Star Trek specific, I don't think, but I could be wrong, because I missed going to any of them. But something like that, I know that those painting classes where you go and you paint and you have a glass of wine or whatever, those are really popular all over the place. I see people doing them on Facebook all the time, and we've got like 3 or 4 places here in Colorado. So, you know, along those lines, like something like that, where you do some kind of like Star Trek art, and then you have something where you go do makeup, that kind of would take the convention to a whole other level.
They could have a whole track of panels and classes for that. I mean, there's so many people who go to that convention who cosplay. I think people would eat that up. You know, I know they don't listen to our show, but seriously, you know, we've got 2 tracks worth of panels right now, and a third track that goes on at that third stage. But I really think that this could be something that would be really community focused and would provide a lot of value for the people who attend that convention.
Yeah, for sure. So at what point are we going to start our fundraiser, our GoFundMe for the Shore Leave convention? Not the Shore Leave convention, but the Shore Leave podcast convention.
Oh, I think we'd have to go up with a new name for it.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Well, let's move on. Why don't you talk about the next one?
Okay. So next one, I think, comes from, and I'm probably going to butcher your name, Eric, so I'm very sorry, Eric Muirhead, maybe?
I like the question mark at the end.
Yeah, well, you know, I know Annie won the second prize in our bingo contest. So shout out there. So Eric says, I really like the meetups and unofficial group photos. As amazing as it is to go to panels, what I really loved about STLV was sharing Trek love with like-minded fans, comparing costumes, the trades, etc. It was a way of sharing what Trek means to each other and making new friends across the world. Eric, I cannot agree with you more. And I think that I said something really similar on our last show that is just about to come out. And the community is what made this convention extremely special for me, and I'm really glad to hear that other people felt the same way. And the meetups were all spectacular, and you know, I think that this is the true magic of the Las Vegas convention, that all of us can kind of come together in one place for 4 or 5 days, whatever the length of the convention is next year, and just be together and enjoy Trek together and forge new relationships and come out with new friendships. And this is, I'm sure you have plenty more to say on this, Heather.
Well, yes, the number one, the convention is again 5 days next year.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
It yep. is. So it's what, August 1st through the 6th. So we have another 5-day convention, which will hopefully have a lot of stuff on Wednesday like this year did.
Let's hope so. Well, Discovery will have been out for a full season by then at least.
Yeah, and hopefully they'll have Discovery stuff on Saturday and not on Wednesday. But again, I'm just glad that we got Discovery stuff at all. It was amazing. We talked about that in the last one. So, yeah, of course, you know, we talk about it all the time. It is the spirit of STLV for us anyway. It's mm-hmm. not the panels. It's not the celebrity guests. It's our friends. And There's so much of a presence on Facebook and Twitter, but Facebook is really good for our, you know, the groups. We have our group. There's the Star Trek Las Vegas group. There are a couple other smaller groups, but and then of course, you know, the official creation group, which I barely pay attention to. But I mean, it's not that busy. It's
Tell us how you really feel during
the convention. That's and our group again has a fraction of what the, I think we have just over 4,000 members now, and the official group has something like 15,000, and our group is far more active than the official group. So yay for that.
Yes.
It's important to me. My passion is the people, mm-hmm. and it's important to me that people who come get a sense of family, of belonging. I mean, even if it's not family, then at least that you are with your tribe.
Exactly.
Like you are in the place where you can be your most authentic self. At least I am. I know that nobody's going to judge me for quoting Star Trek and dressing up like a Star Trek character or wearing space overalls. Yeah, that's super important to me. And I was really excited to see the response from the photo ops. And there were photo ops that we organized in our group, and then there were photo ops that were organized for the CBS All Access stage, none of which I participated in, but those were all kind of, I mean, I guess they were official since they were part of the programming, but that was something new-ish, I guess. I think they've done different like photo ops throughout the years. Like we have the Wrath of Khan, you know, Monster Maroon. And I think they've all started kind of as fan events, fan photo ops. And then Creation finally realized, people want to do this. Yes. So Creation has started hosting the big ones. And of then course. Now I know Holly Amos helped facilitate a lot of those cosplay photo ops this year. And then we had just our group photos, which was fun. I'm learning as we go with the organization, and we had, you know, a bit of a shakeup with the whole masquerade bar issue and kind of lost track. I think we were supposed to do a photo from the top of the masquerade bar on like Saturday. And I completely forgot about that.
Nope.
Yeah. I don't know that ever happened. We did get an unofficial group photo in front of the Delta Shield, and that is now the main photo on our group page. Yeah, the other one, unfortunately, I missed out on. But I think that, you know, those unofficial events are fairly successful. And I really hope next year that we can get a little bit more participation as far as people wanting to host events.
Yes.
Because that's where I had a lot of anxiety, was setting up events and then trying to make it to every event, which just becomes impossible. And especially there's just a lot of difficulty. And sorry to go off on a total tangent here, by the way, everybody. But it's hard with the events that aren't at a bar. Mm-hmm. And I want to create events that are not at the bar because I understand the difficulty of having them there. But the Rio is just terrible with having spaces.
Yeah, it's not conducive.
It's really not. And I could say, okay, well, go to Starbucks at 3:00 on Friday, but there's probably going to still be a line for coffee. And every time I walked by the Starbucks down by the convention hall, all the seats were taken, like, every time. So aside from just, like, getting together in a hallway or getting together at a restaurant, there's just not – there are no spaces that really can facilitate a good get-together.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I realized that more this year as I kind of – I was going from event to event to event inside the Rio. And I'm like, everything's at the same places because there literally is no other place to hold anything.
And Quarks – so I haven't really talked about this in the group, but the coloring tables, which I was really excited about it – kind of wound up being a failure because there were never tables available to put stuff on. I mean, the tables were pretty packed all day. And unless I wanted to walk up and be like, hey, I'm going to throw all this coloring stuff over your lunch. It just didn't quite work out. And so I'll ask people if it's something that they want to do again next year and then try to reach out and see if Creation will at least provide a table or something outside of Quarks or some little station that I can just set off to the side to do that. I was kind of sad about that. You know, it is what it is. We learn each year, we learn as we go, and we're always open to suggestions. If anyone has ideas on better spots to meet up, you know, we are happy to create events for anyone. It's just that generally they need a host or, you know, at least someone who's going to be there and be like, hey, we're meeting, you know, we're right here, everybody. We need someone to do that. And so hopefully next year we'll get some of that. But I'm really happy that Eric and Annie are part of the family now and get it. And I hung out with them quite a bit and we were really excited with their participation in bingo and everything else. So really, really vibing with that comment there.
yeah, me too. I am too. And I don't want to delay this this episode too much with extra sidebar conversations. But I will say that you know, on a community perspective, I was really, really taken aback by the reaction that our new Australian friends Jamie and Lyrian expressed to me at the end of the con, and they were so happy to feel so included in the community. And we introduced them to people on Tuesday night at the party, Larry's party, and they just had the time of their lives. It was their first time. They came all the way from Australia. And this just speaks volumes about the community at the convention. They were embraced. They met a lot of friends and they just had a great time. And I think that, you know, Eric's comment here really sends that point home. And, you know, I'm really proud of the community that we're a part of and that we're so inclusive and that we care so much about other people's experience at the convention.
That's what we do.
So what's next?
So, oh gosh, another name I'm probably going to murder here.
Oh, it's your turn.
But I'm going to, is it Jana Lately Martin? Or, okay.
That sounds good.
Forgive me if I butchered the name. So I'm not going to read the entire comment. I'm going to pick out the part that I think is really awesome. And that is that one of the things that I think is so special about STLV is the access to so many of the creative minds behind Trek, writers, producers, designers, technicians. If I could have spent my day sitting in Quark's Theater just watching those presentations, it would have been enough. And I completely agree. I know that in our last, well, I guess in our first recap episode, those of you who got to sit on the Okuda's Elkars panel just raved about that panel. you know, really, those, a lot of us, I think that by the time you've completely immersed yourself in Star Trek, like you've watched all of Star Trek, including the animated series.
Jim Morehouse.
You've, you know, you've watched the Blu-rays, and especially when you get into like the bonus features on the Blu-rays where you're talking to writers, producers, like I'm really interested now in what happened behind the scenes, and how Star Trek came to be and what was going on in the minds that created Star Trek. So panels like that are always some of my favorites. And those, again, they aren't really panels or guests that you tend to see at some of these larger conventions. Or they kind of get swallowed up, like if they're there. Because I know that some people, like John Eaves, he was at Denver Comic Con. I think he lives somewhere out west here. But I think some of these people are there, but they kind of get swallowed up in the craziness of these bigger cons. And although, you know, STLV is large, it really, because it's Star Trek only, it shines a spotlight on people like that.
Totally. I agree. Yeah. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's a great point, because I'm in the same place that you are, having gone to so many of these creation conventions out in Vegas. And, you know, I think we hear the same thing from a lot of people who are multiple STLV goers, that a lot of the panels that you get with the actors, you get a lot of repeated stories, and you've heard it all before. It's nice to see them again, not to take anything away from that. But I think as you attend more conventions, you start to look more forward to some of that behind the scenes stuff, and some of the more niche panels become more important to you, right? That's the way both of us are. And I know in reading this comment here, I can see that that's true for other people too. That's why I enjoyed the Elkars panel so much. And, you know, I enjoyed the little things like the Eclipse panel. I thought that was a great addition too.
That was
You know, and that was had nothing to do with Star Trek, even though there were a lot of Star Trek jokes inserted into that panel. But it was a nice change. And it provided a lot more value than just sitting and listening to the same stories over and over again. And that's not to take anything away from those stories, because there's a lot of great stuff in those other actors' panels. But
yeah,
it's nice to know that other people feel the same way.
Yeah, it's fun to watch our experiences evolve over time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's see. Next up. Oh, Heidi Stuck. I had a great time meeting you, by the way, Heidi. Thank you so much for all the kind words that you gave us.
So
it was wonderful. And I hope that you come back next year. And Heidi said this was her first con, and she was surprised at how much she enjoyed the panels and discussions. And of course, here's the part that I think will resonate for other people. And I think this is a lesson you can take home. She did miss some from scheduling, and she needed a nap one day. So guys, make sure that you are getting your appropriate amount of rest. And I am the biggest hypocrite in the world, because I, in the first few days, did not get enough rest, and I burned myself out. And I know you did the same thing, Heather.
Yes, I feel extremely hypocritical, because, you know, we're the ones saying, if you want to have the best convention experience, then get sleep and hydrate and make sure you eat more than Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
and of course, what did I do? Not get enough sleep.
And ate a lot
of Pop-Tarts. I did drink a lot of water, but several days, mostly it was just Tuesday and Wednesday. And that's pretty typical. You know, those first few days you get in and you're just so high on being around all your favorite people. And, like I said, I don't drink a ton at home, so I drink a little bit more. And don't drink the night before. Get like 4 hours of sleep.
Yes.
Eat a Pop-Tart and then expect to make it through the day.
Oh, God, that's exactly what I did, too. Less than 4 hours. Ate a single Pop-Tart. Was hungover. Not enough water. Guys, you know, we stress this all the time. And, you know, later on in the convention, we started to follow our own advice. But seriously, you know, take that advice to heart. It's so easy. And, you know, something this year, by the way, that I realized about halfway through the convention, I was literally forgetting to eat. It sounds impossible, right? But I was literally forgetting to eat. I would eat a Pop-Tart in the morning in my room and drink some water. And then next thing I knew, it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I never ate lunch. And, you know, things would drag on. And, you know, seriously, take care of yourselves out there. Really, seriously, take care of yourselves. And I think now seeing Heidi in her first convention saying something like this, I can see that this is something that just kind of happens to people at the con. It just gets away from you.
Yeah, it does. And so, like, I'm on the verge of just saying, forget it. Do what you want. at least try.
Yeah.
Like, try to get some sleep, and definitely do drink the water. I am so grateful that we got in a day early or a couple days early and were able to go to the grocery and get a bunch of water, because being able to just grab a water out of the fridge and take it with me during the day was invaluable.
Super valuable.
That is like, yay. Yeah.
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 Definitely. Guys, naps. Take an Uber. It costs you like $5, whatever it is, to get down the street to the grocery store, buy a few cases of water, bring it back with you on your first day. You will not be disappointed.
No, you won't. And I know that they sell it in the Rio stores.
It's expensive, though.
I know some people were saying it was like $4 a bottle or something.
You get a whole case for that.
Yeah, and I think they did have cases in the Rio, too, but it's probably like $50 a case. Just kidding. But yeah, you're going to pay more there anyway.
For sure.
All right. Our dear, dear friend, Barry, who was such a pleasure to meet Barry this year. And
that's my buddy.
He's a good guy. Yeah.
Wonderful.
So we kind of talked about this in the first recap, but I'm going to bring it up again just to reiterate. How best to handle when a high-profile celebrity has to cancel? There was quite a bit of blowback when Frakes had to cancel. Maybe best ways to make lemonade, which I completely agree with. And I mentioned it again in the first episode. I'm going to mention it here. Was Belinda's comment that when they did their photo op, they just brought a picture of Jonathan Frakes with them. And the cast, the TNG cast, loved it. And I think that's just such a great example of a way to, you know, make lemonade out of lemons.
Absolutely.
Stuff like this happens, and as we always say, you know, Star Trek actors are human beings with jobs. And I was listening today, I think it was a Trek FM or Earl Grey podcast. Amy Nelson and friends did a recap, and they were talking about the TNG panel, which I missed and you got to go to. But one of the things that they mentioned was where Patrick Stewart was saying that he worries sometimes that they will disappoint us with like answers to the questions we ask, because they are actors and as blessed as they have been with the success of Star Trek, and that they have just, you know, they're revered as, you know, monumental figureheads in the world of Star Trek.
Yeah.
They are still actors first and foremost, and Star Trek was a job first and foremost. So this is something they did 30 years ago, and they don't necessarily remember what happened in an episode. A lot of them, they don't go back and watch Star Trek either.
No.
Some of them have never seen the episodes that they've been in. So I think it's so important to just kind of check yourself and remember that, you know, they are not the characters. They are not us. They do not know every line of every Star Trek episode that's ever been made.
Nope.
And so I think that when things like this happen and people cancel, it's the same thing as if one of our flights was canceled.
Exactly.
You know, you can't get there. And I think that they tried very hard to get him there, but because of flight delays and whatnot, it just didn't work out. And yes, it was hugely disappointing because everyone loves Jonathan Frakes and he's working on Discovery. And so I think a lot of us were like, ooh, maybe he can say something about that. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. And you're much better off trying to find the positives than just being caught up in the negatives of, oh, he's not here and blah, blah, blah. And I think that, you know, Creation kind of did the best with what they could. And
I thought they handled it really well. I got to give Creation kudos for, I mean, they tried their best and they were posting frequent updates about what was going on with Jonathan and his flights and the situation. And, you know, I think they were genuinely disappointed that they couldn't bring him there. And I know, I'm sure Jonathan Frakes was also genuinely disappointed that he couldn't be there. I mean, it's the 30th anniversary of The Next Generation and his entire fellow cast was going to be there. I'm sure that he would have enjoyed being there if he possibly could have. But you know what? Like Heather said, he's a human being just like the rest of us are, and things happen. And think about, there's how many guests were there at this convention? 104 or 5, 6?
Yeah.
So one guest couldn't make it out of all of them because of a flight problem. That's really good odds. I mean, you know, I'm sure how many of us attendees wound up having flight problems getting there. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to happen.
And God forbid, I mean, it wasn't Patrick Stewart, right? So I can only imagine the upset if that had happened. You know, I think this year was just kind of a difficult year because so many people did cancel. And I know that, like, for the gold people, several of the autograph tickets for certain actors were canceled. And so they had to substitute them with other people. And, you know, I get it. I totally get people's frustration. And I understand frustration as well that, you know, General Admission had to pay for this panel.
Yeah.
And I mean, frankly, we talked about it in the first episode, and I'm not going to rehash it here because it's pretty negative. And, you know, at this point, all we can really do is A, tell creation, and B, move on. But I get it. I get all of it. But my approach is always to be as positive as we can be. And at the end of the day, you're at the Star Trek convention and other people aren't. So, you know, it's up to you to make your experience the best that it can be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely agree with you 100%. You know, it's our choice how we react to things. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's up to you to enjoy your convention as much as you possibly can. And if bad things happen, we take them in stride and move along and find a way to have fun. Because you're there for a week or less than a week. If you come out of that with nothing but complaints, that's on you, in my mind. There's a lot of positive things to love at STLV this year. So let's see. Who's up next? Oh, our good friend Michael Nguyen. So Mike says, would love to talk about new friendships made in unlikely places at STLV. So many of us have been going for years, but this year I love really reaching out more and getting to know newcomers and folks I hadn't gotten a chance to know as well. And, you know, Mike, I wish I had saved my story about the Australian friends, Jamie and Lyrian, for this question. Or for this comment. But you know what? I'm sure there's so many more because, like I said in the last episode, I met so many people from our Facebook community and our listener community at this convention, and I was just overwhelmed by everyone. They were so positive and so happy, and they had such great things to say, and I loved meeting every single one of you. One that really sticks out in my mind is Rodney Jones.
Yeah.
Rodney is such a sweet guy. And God, he was tracking me down at the con. He wanted to buy me a beer so bad.
Yep. Yep.
Rodney, I'm so glad that you connected with us prior to the con and that you had such a great time at the convention. Every time I saw you, you had a big smile on your face, and that made me feel so good that you came there and that you really, really enjoyed it. So that's something that was really special to me. Heather, do you have any memories?
I have so many memories. Like, at this point, I have anxiety about doing shout outs because I just met like so many amazing people. And I mean, there were friends that it's like my friend Jocelyn I met last year.
She's great.
And so I don't know, I adore her so much, and I got really shy around her for some reason. And so like last year we kind of barely talked, and we had chatted online before this convention. So this year when I saw her for the first time, I like screamed and ran over and hugged her. And you know, we've kept in touch since, and we hung out a lot at the convention. And yeah, it's just so many people, you know, every year. Like I say, this is so repetitive, but every year, you know, our family grows and grows and grows. And there were, you know, there were faces missing this year, which sucks, but there were still so many new faces. And that I think makes me the most excited about the future of Star Trek is the fact that even though the 50th was last year, and yeah, this was TNG 30, but like I said, it wasn't going to be like the 50th. There were still people coming for the first time. And yeah, I just like, you know, getting to spend time with Haley and my friend Sarah, who total tangent, but we're friends through the gym that we worked out at. And so we inspire each other. And it was so nice to like actually get to see each other in person. Yep. and give her a hug. Because, you know, our lives do extend beyond Star Trek.
They do.
And it's just, that was just, I'm so thrilled that I was able to meet her and just share in that love. But yeah, I mean, yeah, everyone you've mentioned, there are so, so many people. And I could just like go through a list and call out everyone. And hopefully, I know that for you, you've already gone to an away mission.
I went to an away mission in New York last weekend, and I'm looking forward to going to the Wrath of Khan movie screening with the away mission up in New York again, too, in a few weeks. And God, you know, I feel bad not naming every single person specifically, because all, like I said in the last show, and I said a little earlier, you guys are all wonderful, special people, and I'm so blessed to be a part of this community and get to hang out with you guys at these conventions and the meetups. And, you know, it's a really special part of my life. And, you know, I'm so glad to hear people who came to this convention for the first time are feeling that love already and assimilating. You see what I did there? Assimilating into this community so well. It just speaks volumes about how accepting the Trek convention community is and how loving the Trek convention community is. I think we're all just really, really blessed to be a part of this.
Yeah. And I think it says it's specifically STLV.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, and, you know, this podcast started off kind of focused on STLV. And of course, it's still a huge focus since it's the only convention I get to go to. Oh. But, you know, just compared to others, you know, while there some of us go with friends or we still do meetups afterwards. You know, this convention, because it's just Star Trek, and because, you know, for me, this is the one that I go to every year. And I know it's like that for a lot of other people. It's just that's why this one is so special. Mm-hmm. And why I encourage people to go to it, you know, out of all the conventions you can go to, especially if you want to go to a Star Trek convention.
Yes.
Just save your pennies and go just one time. That's all you have to make the effort for is to go one time.
Absolutely right.
And try it out and see.
Yeah. And listen, that's what happened to me. I, you know, the first time I did this, we had been doing tricorder transmissions for, you know, just about a year, and we decided to go, and it changed my life. And here I am. I've gone every year since. And you go there and you experience it and you get to become part of the community. And next thing you know, you're going every single year.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked about my story before, but yeah. It was a past life for me, past life. And, mm-hmm. and my life has just completely changed. And I went from yeah. being a person watching from the outside to having a podcast about it.
Yep.
And, you know, that I will say this, it makes me extremely happy to know that people went this year for the first time and were assimilated, you know, felt that sense of community. Yep. I know that it doesn't happen for everyone the first year. And I'm one of those people. Like, it took me some time to really start to, you know, find my tribe, find the people that I go to connect with, people that I see every year that I make a point to see. And that's kind of how your Star Trek, you know, your STLV family starts to build, is it's the people that you go back to see and mm-hmm. you make a point to see them every year. But then on top of that, you meet so many new people. And so then your family just expands. But I will say, if anyone's listening and they went and they didn't get that sense of community, go back and listen to some of our podcasts. Yes. Listen to, like, you know, not to imply that someone who didn't connect has anxiety of any type, but I know that can be a part of it. Mm-hmm. So listen to that podcast, because that one was really good and had a good mix of people that are different and connect with others in different ways. Yeah. But, you know, take a gander through our episodes and hopefully some of them will be helpful. At the end of the day, I think it's important to just remember that, you know, you have to make a little bit of an effort.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But you are in a place where you have one thing in common with everybody that's there. And while we are all people and not all people are nice, and so I can't guarantee that everyone is going to greet you with a smile, overall, mm-hmm. I think the general attitude of the people at STLV is a friendly, welcoming one.
Absolutely. I could not agree with that more.
Yeah. So, okay. Right, so we've gone off, like, we went off on another tangent. So let's get back. Okay. So Jim Stoffel mentions that he loved the Discovery exhibit, which we also loved. Yep. And we talked about that in the first episode. But he also mentions the anti-bullying panels that Chase Masterson did.
Oh, wow.
And unfortunately, I did not get to see either of them. There were two, apparently. We love Chase Masterson here at the Tricorder Transmissions.
We certainly do.
And I know that, you know, she works hard on her campaign. And I know if you connect with her on Twitter, I think she's more active on Twitter than Facebook, but I'm not totally sure. But, you know, she's a great voice for that community. And so I encourage everybody to pop over to her Twitter, Pop Culture Hero Coalition. It's popcultureherocoalition.org is the website. And then her Twitter is superheroIRL.
Nice.
And it is the first ever 501c3 nonprofit to stand against bullying, racism, misogyny, LGBTQ bullying, and cyberbullying.
Wow.
Combining stories from TV and film with social justice.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and they have the Be Kind t-shirts, which people may have seen around STLV.
Yes.
Or just online. I actually saw a picture pop up in my social media news feed today.
Hmm.
So, yeah. You know, we love Chase. We love what she does. And we had hoped to connect with her this year when we were there. And I think that got overlooked. But I think we may be able to make that happen and have her pop on the show to talk about that at some point.
Yeah, would absolutely love that because I know we share those same views.
Yes, we do.
All right. Let's see. Who is next up in the list? So we've got Keith Pickering Walters talking about the game room, thinking it was a cool idea with 3D chess lessons and activities. The Star Trek Bridge Crew virtual reality presentations and demos were incredible, and he'd love to see more game demos in the future. And a space like a game room open in the evening for players to bring their games. That's a great, great idea. And I feel really terrible that I missed this game room. I'm a big gamer myself.
Yeah.
How did I not see this?
You know, it's so I remember walking down the hall and seeing a sign that said game room.
Wow.
And I was like, well, what's that? And then I forgot about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it sounded awesome. And I know, like, we had a couple events, and I'm not sure how those events went because I didn't attend them, but they were just ongoing events for game nights with our buddy John Kerkorian, and then a couple women. I know it was Myrna Ray, I think,
yep.
And her sister, whose name is escaping me.
Becca,
but
I think Becca.
I know that they were trying to do, you know, a game night as well, and I'm not quite sure what happened with those. But I know there was just a lot of. You think when I'm not there, I envision that Quarks is ginormous. And then I just remember walking into Quarks,
it's
and
not.
It's like, okay, wow, no, there's not a single like open table anywhere at any time. It's not quite as big as what I remember in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think next year again, we will, you know, encourage our own events, but might touch base with Creation and find out some more about this game room and then see if they're going to have it again next year.
Mm-hmm.
And because it sounds like the perfect place.
It does.
To have those game nights. So we'll see.
For sure. I mean, I know John Kerkorian was doing some Cards Against Humanity Trek Edition game nights as well. And I'm a big fan of game nights. And I must confess that I really overbooked myself this year and was not able to make any of my friends' game nights as much as I wanted to. So next year, I need to really seriously reconsider my schedule at these cons and make sure that I can get to at least one of these game nights, because they sound like a heck of a lot of fun. And hopefully next year there'll be a better way to organize all of these things.
I think that we need to find a guest who is a schedule master.
Yes.
And like is extremely knowledgeable about planning schedules.
I
love it. Because I've fallen into the same issue. But the reality is this convention is so large and there are three stages and there's always something going on. And, you know, between Creation's official events and our unofficial events, and then the Star Trek Las Vegas group was having a lot of different events.
There's something going on every minute.
There were all kinds of conflicts, and that just kind of happens. And that's where you have to really pick out your priorities. And that also includes how much you drink and eat. I miss the craft swap the first couple days because I was having a nap during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I started eating more and not drinking, I was able to make it at 5 o'clock every day. And I was very grateful for that. So, you know, again, it just comes down to priorities. Mm-hmm. And yeah. All right. So Phyllis Lopez mentions, I found myself in an elevator with Robert Picardo and in a Starbucks line with Mary Chifo. In both cases, I said nothing and just grinned like an idiot because I had no idea what proper etiquette will be running into a celebrity outside of the convention area. Would love some tips for next time. Hmm. And we've talked about this before. I think we mentioned it in our three-part STLV 101 series. So I encourage everyone who has not listened to those to go back and listen before next year's convention. But in general, you know, just be cool. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. But if you do, I mean, you could just make a funny comment or say hello. I'm trying to think of the experiences I've had personally, but you just said you saw Bob Picardo. So why don't you talk about yours?
I did. Literally, I saw Robert Picardo in an elevator, literally just like this. And, you know, frankly, I've been going to conventions for, I don't know, I can't even tell you how many years. And I've met so many celebs. And granted, when I first started going years and years ago, I was nervous to meet these people. And it was an anxiety type thing, waiting in line, and you're getting closer and closer and closer and closer, and you're like, oh, here's my chance. How can I say everything I want to say? And one thing that really, really helps me, and I came to this realization, I don't know if I've ever told this story on the show before, but I think, Heather, I think I've told you this in private. I'm a big Ben Stiller fan, and I've never met him at a convention, but I was up in New York City to see William Shatner's one-man show on Broadway, Shatner's World. And I was up there with my uncle and my cousin and another friend of theirs. And we were outside after the show was over, and we were waiting by the stage door for William Shatner to come out, because that's kind of the way things work in those shows on Broadway and other theaters. You know, sometimes they'll come out the side door as they're getting ready to leave, and you can say hi. So I'm standing there waiting, and I look down the street, and who's walking towards me but Ben Stiller? And I'm like, deer in headlights. And I'm like, okay, I got to play this super cool. How am I going to play this cool? So Ben Stiller's like walking towards me, and he literally stops right in front of us. And I'm just like, okay, how am I going to play this? I'm like, hey, Ben Stiller, how's it going? And I was so impressed with myself because I didn't freak out. And he's just standing there talking to us. And of course, my cousin, who is a little more ambitious than I, jumps and says, hey, can I get a picture with you? And of course, he's like, yeah, sure, of course. And he, you know, puts his arm around her. And me, I pull out my cell phone and I take the picture. And then Ben Stiller walks away. Have a good night. I played it too cool. I didn't jump in the picture. I felt like the biggest idiot in the world. So,
okay, you're not an idiot.
No, but I did. I felt like the biggest idiot in the world. So anyway, the point of the story is, be yourself. You can be a fan, but just be cool. They're people too. They're just like us. They just happen to have jobs where they appear on television and the movies, and people see them. But at their base, they're the same as you and I. They get up in the morning, they put their clothes on, they eat their breakfast, they go to work. So, I mean, it's the same. So if you treat them like human beings, your interactions will be so much more real. And when I saw Bob Picardo in the elevator, we literally had a conversation about the paper hat that he was wearing and where he bought it. And he was lamenting the fact that it was starting to get worn and he was going to have to find another one. That was the conversation we had. It was nothing about Star Trek, but he was just, it was a regular human conversation. And that's the best thing that I can tell you guys out there. Just treat them like human beings.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I totally get the, you know, fangirling or fanboying, mm-hmm. I guess,
me too,
are the terms, because, you know, we all get excited when we see these people. So here's my story, which I haven't really told anybody, maybe Claire. I had talked about in our last episode that I missed the Star Trek Discovery makeup and effects panel with Glenn Hetrick and Neville Page. I'm a big Face Off fan. I watch every season and totally have a crush on Neville Page. And I adore him. I think he always just has such solid feedback on the show and is supportive of everyone that's there. And I admire both of them and the work that they do. And so I was really bummed not to make that panel. And then even more bummed to start seeing all these photos pop up where apparently they just hung out outside by the Delta Shield and let people take photos with them for free. Mm. Super awesome. I was kind of disappointed. And I walk off the elevator one morning, and who is right in front of me about to get on but Neville Page. And of course, though, the first thing out of my mouth, I called him Glenn.
Oh.
Like, it wasn't even like I know who he is. And my brain just misfired.
Oh, my God.
He had in earbuds. So I'm hoping he totally did not like read my lips.
He tuned you out.
Yeah, but I got a hug and I chatted with him for a second. And then I said, well, you know, this was like Thursday. I'm like, well, I'll see you around. And, you know, didn't try to get a selfie or anything. And I never really saw him again. I think I saw him once walking by me in the vendor's room doing stuff. And so I never got my selfie with him. So our stories are similar in that respect. But, you know, the bottom line, like you've said, is to just talk to them like you would anyone else.
Yep.
Because they're people.
They are.
I can't emphasize it enough. And I know from our friendships and relationships with some of the, you know, actors and family of actors is that is what they value.
Mm-hmm.
Is just to have a normal conversation. And sure, you can mention their work. You know, they're people too, and they just want to relate to other people. And so, yeah, I think just be yourself. So you might have to encourage yourself a little to say something, but it usually ends up being a really great experience. I had a similar one with Walter Koenig back in 2014, where we were just at the Starbucks over by Ipanema Tower. He was sitting there having a hot chocolate. We waited. He was talking with someone, and Claire and I waited until he was by himself. And Claire actually went over and said, I'm so sorry to disturb you, but I just wanted to say whatever it was she had to say, which I don't recall. It might have been a thank you for being here, or I saw you in, you know, this place or whatever. But we wound up having like a 20-minute conversation with him, and we did. Well, he had on a really great shirt. He had on the Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, I remember that.
Shirt that's like the Star Trek, the TOS gentleman and the Reservoir Dogs, the walk that they're doing. So he had on that shirt, and I was like, oh my God, can I get a picture of you in the shirt? So I've got this great picture of him showing off the shirt, and then we both got pictures with him. So I love these stories, and I said it already in the last episode, but I valued that all of the discovery, the actors, the writers, the producer, Glenn and Neville were there present in the vendor's room and around the convention for almost the entire weekend.
Yep.
And taking pictures with fans for free. And I'm just going to say, like, if that doesn't get you pumped about Discovery, and if that doesn't give you a little bit of faith in Discovery, then, you know, please just don't watch Discovery and don't talk about it. But anyway, so yeah. And, you know, I think our last comment here from our good friend Alex Perry mentions that, you know, about Mary being there and Ted Sullivan, Erica and Bo Young. I don't know how to – I'm terrible at saying names. But again, more of the writers that were there just hanging out. That was just – that was so awesome. And that doesn't happen every year as well. Not with Discovery people anyway. And we'll see what happens next year. But I left this convention just incredibly high, like just so happy from the experience, from there being a Discovery presence and being pumped about Discovery and feeling like I was a part of Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
On top of, you know, just going to the events, going to things. And again, I didn't get to go to fan sets, but we got to talk with Lou and friends a lot and hang out with them. And, you know, I went to the Gays in Space party. We had our different unofficial events. And then, you know, meeting all of these friends and just getting to spend time with everyone. I've said it over and over again that I need a month with all of you, right?
Yeah, for sure.
to really get to sit down and spend that time that I yeah. so want to spend, because every year I come home and I'm like, all I got was a you know, hallway drive by. Yep. And that's not enough for me. And so I'm so grateful that we can come back together on Facebook, in our group and on Twitter, and stay in touch all year long. And then to have our podcast, of yes. course, and get to talk about things. So it was just a phenomenal year. And it took me a couple of weeks. I finally have a little bit of PCD, and I realized that it's just for me, a little bit of loneliness. My job is very solitary, so I don't have a lot of socialization in my day-to-day efforts. And so I have been listening to Star Trek podcasts and messaging with various friends, and just looking forward to seeing everyone again and get back in the swing of podcasting.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I wish I had more time to spend with everyone. I had my PCD set in. I came home on a high, really, really, really high note. The first couple of days I got home, just like you, I was kind of riding on a cloud. And I think it hit me a lot sooner, though, than it hit you. I think the third yeah. day I was home, I woke up and things really set in on me that, you know, I don't want to belabor it, because I know everybody out there who's dealt with PCD probably understands this already. But, you know, the gravity of the fact that, you know, I'm not going to see a lot of these people again for another year. And granted, you know, like Heather said before, I'm blessed by the fact that I can go to some of these New York away missions and see a few of my STLV friends from time to time. And I'm thankful for that. But still, there's many, 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 many of you that I'm not going to see again until the next STLV. And that does kind of bum me out. And I love social media. I love that I can talk to everybody on there, but it's not the same. It's not the same as that face-to-face contact and just being able to sit down with somebody or even stand there in the hallway and talk to them for a minute and just exchange some good conversation. And so, you know what, that I'm getting better now. My PCD is fading, and you know, I've settled back into real life, as I'm sure most of us have. But, you know, I still miss all of you guys. And like I said on the last podcast, I felt more like a part of the community this year than I ever have before. And I was really, really grateful for that. And thank you to every single person who came up to me and recognized me and said hi to me and said such positive things about this podcast and our Facebook group. And I know Heather said say the same thing. We love each and every one of you. Thank you all so much for being part of this community and listening to the show and being part of our group.
Yep. We hope that, you know, everyone, now that we've got Discovery coming and another convention to plan for, will, you know, keep things positive yeah. in our group. We really value that. Mm-hmm. And it's important for us. We never want anyone in the group to feel like they can't express, you know, frustration or vent a bit. But we take a lot of pride in being one of the more positive groups on Facebook and a place that people can have discussions without it getting out of hand and people calling one another names. And just there's enough of that in the world outside of Star Trek. So we value that we don't have a lot of that in our group, and we appreciate everyone working towards keeping that little bit of Star Trek utopia in place.
No, not absolutely true. I'm not going to go on and on and on about it, but yeah, I love the fact that our community remains as positive as it does. And, you know, it's a lot of work to keep it that way, but I think that it's so worth it. And like I said, so many people came up to us and told us how grateful they were for that positive safe space. And yeah. I think that that's so valuable for us and for everybody else.
I think I can speak for both of us. We do this because we're passionate about Star Trek, and absolutely. We're passionate about the people that keep Star Trek alive. And that is everyone listening and everyone in our group. So it may be work, but it's work that I'm happy to do.
Yep, me too.
Happy to facilitate a place for everyone to come together. So, you know, I think that in the long run, you know, we're still interested in feedback on bingo, feedback on the name badges. We covered some information on the name badges in the last episode we did, about where the money went and what we're going to do better next year, AKA shipping all of the name badges to avoid, the difficulty that we had this year. And again, thanks everyone who bought one, and we appreciate your understanding. This was a learning experience for us, but it was such a popular, we had such a great response that I'm sure we will offer to do name badges again.
Oh, for sure.
And, just make sure to ship them to everyone beforehand so that everyone's got them before they go. But we encourage everyone to let creation know, the more people that speak up, the better. Mm-hmm. And, maybe one day, they have listened. I have seen in my 9 years of going, I have seen them make changes for the better. Mm-hmm. And so I know that they do listen to some of our feedback, and, the more feedback we give, the larger the response, the higher the probability that they will put those changes into place. Yeah, I just encourage sending comments there. They don't moderate our group at all. We have no connection to creation.
Nope.
There are some creation people in our group that are not active, that never comment. So, we're unofficial, and the fact that we're not moderated or affiliated by creation, we don't necessarily block them out of the group, because I think there is relevant feedback that they need to see.
Absolutely.
And if that ever becomes an issue, we'll certainly address it. But, at the end of the day, the best thing for everyone to do is just send their feedback to customer.service@creationent.com, which of course is their customer service email. Let them know what your thoughts were, and, we'll plan for next year. We're open to suggestions for events and everyone's ideas. So please, get in touch with us on Facebook, in our unofficial Star Trek Las Vegas Facebook group, or on Twitter, right?
At Shore Leave.
At Shore Leave on Twitter. Yeah. You can, so. Or our Shore Leave Facebook page. We're all over the place.
We're
guys.
All over the place. We are. And I guess now we can jump into really quickly our on the spot interviews that we did at this years past STLV convention, and I was so glad that we got to speak to a few of you while we were out there for our bingo contest. So let's go through those really quickly, and then we'll be back with you guys to close out the show. All right, so what's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Shashank. I am from Little Rock, Arkansas. That's where I live, but I'm originally from India.
Very cool, very cool. And what brought you to STLV this year?
Frankly, last year, it was almost serendipitous. I was looking at other conventions, the ones to go, and I realized if my time here in the United States is limited and I'm a nerd, what are things I want to do? There are conventions for specific franchises, but I wanted to go to the biggest, baddest one for Star Trek, and I found this, and that's how I'm here.
You definitely found the right convention for that. So what's been your favorite part of the convention so far?
Honestly, I would say the panels. I would, but if it wasn't for the fact that I spent an entire day yesterday walking around all the sets, I mean, right now as we speak, we're standing in front of the transporter photo op. How cool is it to just stand at a transporter and get your picture as being transported? Like, that's really being part of the franchise. So the photo ops and the fact that I get to see stuff for Discovery this year specifically that other people might not, that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks so much for talking to us.
Oh, I'm more than happy to. Thank you for Shore Leave.
All right. What's your name and where are you from?
My name is William Conlon. I'm from Santa Barbara, California.
And you're a member of the unofficial Star Trek Las Vegas Facebook group?
Yes, I joined about a week before STLV last year, so I was kind of new and getting my bearings for the convention. It was my first time. But then I spent this entire last year in the group making friends on there, not meeting any of them, and then coming here and having people come up and say, "Hey, you're Will." I say, "Hey, you're Jesse. Oh, my God."
So what has been your favorite, Saturday now as we're recording this, what's been your favorite thing that you've had happen at the convention so far?
Oh, that's tough. Well, I've met Patrick Stewart several times before, but seeing him yesterday was really fantastic. When I was a little kid, I met him, and we had a bit of a moment then, so I talked about that, and he actually remembered it, which was awesome. The panel last night was great. It's been an amazing convention. Every single day has been top-notch. All right. And anything you're looking forward to the rest of the today or tomorrow?
Yeah, I've got Kate Mulgrew in a little bit. I have never met her, so I'm excited for that. I have a 8x10 from Voyager that's signed by every cast member of Voyager except her, and I've had it for 18 years, so that's a long time coming.
Very cool. Well, thank you for stopping by, and we'll see you at the end of the bingo contest later.
Thank you very much.
All right. All right, so what's your name and where are you from?
Berdina Robinson from Tigard, Oregon.
Very cool. And is this your first convention or?
This is my third convention.
Very, very cool. So what has been your favorite part of the convention so far?
Meeting people.
Meeting people. Anybody in particular you met that you stands out to you?
Everybody is phenomenal.
Oh, very cool. So it's Saturday now. Are you looking forward to anything today or tomorrow?
We have stuff going on all day. He's got it on his phone.
Oh, very cool. Well, thanks for stopping by and chatting with us here on Shore Leave, and we'll catch you again soon. Okay, what's your name and where are you from?
Jay Galloway from Beaverton, Oregon.
Very cool. And how many times have you been to STLV?
This will be my third time.
Very cool. So, what has been your favorite thing so far? It's Saturday now.
My favorite part was the Star Trek Discovery panels and then, of course, the exhibit.
Nice. So way back on Wednesday. Seems like a year ago now.
Yeah, it does seem like a year ago, but actually we did the Discovery panel yesterday.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. So what, in the next 2 days, the last 2 days of the con, what is the thing you're looking forward to the most?
Spending time with my fellow cosplayers.
Nice. Very, very cool. So planning on coming back next year?
Yes, I do plan on coming back next year.
All right. Well, thanks for stopping by and talking to us here on Shore Leave, and we'll catch you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, I'm Annie Muirhead, and I currently live in Tennessee.
Very cool. Is this your first convention or?
It's my first time at STLV. Last year, we went to Dallas and to Mission, New York, but STLV is proving to be an entirely different experience.
Yeah, I was at Mission, New York last year. Maybe we ran into each other and just didn't notice.
I don't know. We were pretty overwhelmed. I don't think we talked to a lot of fans that time. We're definitely trying to do that this time and make lots of con friends.
Very cool. So what's your favorite part of STLV so far since it's your first time here?
That is a really difficult question. We've been to a lot of great panels. I wasn't prepared for having con go from 8:30 in the morning to past midnight. It's been really amazing just having the entire casino be a con experience for 24 hours a day and getting to see fans and the stars. My husband got to teach Nicole DeBauer how to play blackjack. So it's been a lot of fun.
Well, you remembering to take care of yourself, stay hydrated through all of this partying?
Oh, absolutely. Have to hydrate. Hydrate or die.
Okay, so it's Saturday now. Is there anything you're looking forward to today or tomorrow?
Well, I'm thinking about getting in that Carl Urban autograph line. And also, we want to make sure we hit the DS9 confessional tomorrow so we can talk about how much that series meant to us for the documentary.
Very cool. So are you planning on coming back next year?
Yes. Enthusiastically, yes.
Awesome. Well, thanks for stopping by and talking to us on Shore Leave.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right. What's your name and where are you from?
Art Shea from Boyle, Canada, Alberta.
Very cool. Is this your first STLV or?
This is my first STLV. Yeah, very cool.
Really, really. So what has been your favorite part so far?
This is going to sound Klingon karaoke when the two girls sang in Klingon. That was so cool.
Nice, nice. Anything else that stood out to you in the last couple days?
Panels. I like the TNG 30 panel was pretty good, and I've enjoyed the panels, and I've just enjoyed the fan sets thing yesterday was awesome. And won some pins, and it was very cool.
Awesome. So it's Saturday right now while we're recording this. Is there anything today or tomorrow that you're looking forward to?
Well, we're going to Carl Urban tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to Carl Urban. We saw half of his in Edmonton, but we didn't see all of his, so I'm looking forward, and he was really good, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Awesome. So are you planning to come back next year?
Hopefully. Canadian dollar kind of prevents us a little bit, you know?
All right. Well, thanks for talking to us here on Shore Leave.
Thank you. It's awesome.
Here we go. All right. What's your name and where are you from?
Jamie from Sydney, Australia.
That's right. We communicated via email for a little bit before you guys came over here. How was your trip over?
20 hours of Star Trek reruns, right? On Netflix, you know, you can download it on your app and makes a flight go quickly.
Very cool. I remember you got in on, what, Tuesday?
Yes, Monday. We caught the Penn & Teller show on Monday night, which was awesome. And then slowly recovering from jet lag so we can enjoy the week here.
All right, so you've been here since, it's now Saturday, so we're getting close to the end of the convention. So rack your brain, think about what were your favorite things that you've done so far since you've been here?
Well, too many to count. I think the most amazing thing was getting to the end of day one and coming back into the hotel room going, there's four more days of this, which was awesome. I got to meet Jimmy Darren, which is something I've wanted to do forever, and there's a gala tonight where I'm hopefully going to get to hear him sing, which is going to be awesome. We did a DS9 documentary, so at a dinner for that, and one of the most amazing things was chatting to Ira Stephen Bear about Peter Allen Fields, his producer on the show, for about half an hour. You couldn't shut him up. So, you know, that's something I'm not going to get in Sydney, right?
Yeah,
so,
you're right. How good. Right. And this is your first convention, right?
It is, yes. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the DS9 doc, and we thought, hey, we may as well come for the convention as well. So, how good?
Excellent, excellent. So, big question, burning question. Are you thinking about coming back next year?
look, yes. I have to be honest, because it's been so much fun. It's a lot of effort to, you know, get over here and a lot of cost, but totally worth it. And we've had a great time, and hopefully, against all of my better financial judgment, you know, I'll be thinking about coming back.
Well, we will look forward to seeing you then. Hopefully we'll make it back. And if you don't, keep in contact with us.
No worries. And thanks, guys, for the podcast that you have put together. We listened to that religiously as preparation for coming over, so we knew exactly what to do. I'll give you one tip for newbies if they're from, you know, from Australia or somewhere else. We drive on the left, right? And we walk on the left. So I've spent the entire convention bumping into people because instinctively I go to the left and they go the other way. So, you know, there's a tip for newbies for
that
you.
That is great advice, and that's definitely not something that's on any of our STLV 101 episodes. I can guarantee you that. So we'll have to add that in there. So, Jamie, have safe travels home.
No worries.
You and your sister both.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
All right.
Good job.
Okay. So what are your names and where are you from?
My name is, go ahead.
Nikki Bracamontes.
Okay. I'm Dr. Raymond, and we're out from the Antelope Valley area in Palmdale, California.
Oh, very cool. Is this your first convention, or?
It's not our first convention. We normally hit the big pop culture conventions like Comic-Con, WonderCon, that kind of stuff, but this is definitely our first Star Trek convention ever.
Oh, very cool. What's your favorite thing that's happened so far?
Oh, gosh. Meeting the folks is pretty cool. You know, that Wednesday night was nice. It's kind of neat to meet the actual stars and get to, you know, shake their hands. That's kind of a fun thing to do, you know, when you get the autographs and whatnot.
Oh, very cool.
I saw John DeLancey.
Yeah.
I was a fan of his when he was on Days of Our Lives, actually.
Very good.
Yeah. Cool. So we got one day left of the convention. Are you guys going to be here tomorrow? What are you looking forward to tomorrow?
I don't know. We may just kind of keep it on low key kind of a thing. You know, we may hit the vendor room a little bit more just to check out some of the smaller items and stuff and maybe pick up one or two more autographs. But that's just kind of keep it on the low side.
Cool. Anything for you?
Probably look see what's in the panels.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, guys, for talking to Shortly. All right. What's your name and where you come from?
I'm Beth Oligus, and I'm here from Louisville, Kentucky.
Very cool, and I assume this is not your first Star Trek Las Vegas?
No, I've been coming here since 2008.
Oh, very cool. So you've been here now since, what did you get in, on Monday, Tuesday?
We got in on Monday.
Okay, cool. So what were your favorite moments so far from this year's convention?
Oh, well, of course, I loved Sir Patrick Stewart's panel. You gotta love anything with him, and he always has such great insights. And then of course the TNG 30th anniversary panel, getting to hear their memories, you know, just certain moments that stood out to each of them. And Kate Mulgrew, she just always has such perfect, insightful things to say about her roles and the role of women, and I could listen to her talk all day.
All right, so it's the end of the day on Saturday. There's only one more day left. What are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Oh, well, even for tomorrow, I'm looking forward to the gala tonight. To me, that's always one of the biggest highlights. And then tomorrow, of course, even though it'll be the end of the con, I always look forward to the big Rat Pack performance. It's just hilarious the way they take well-known songs and kind of give them a little tweak, give them some funny lyrics. You know, that for me, that's always just the little cherry on top.
Well, thanks for talking to us here on Shore Leave, and have a fun the rest of the convention.
Thanks a lot. You too.
Ah, those were so great to hear from you guys live on the show floor, and we'll definitely be doing more of those next year. So if you're interested in doing one of those with us, please let us know, and we would love to talk to you. So Heather Barker, do you have anything that you want to say in closing for this show?
I love you guys. I miss you guys. Thanks to everyone who did come up to us and to everyone who bought me a drink, which you shouldn't have, but thanks. I can't express my love more than I already have. So we're so appreciative of everyone. And Jeff, I'm so appreciative of you and all of your hard work, not just with the podcast, but at STLV. And making it through the convention halls in that very heavy Santa suit and mask. Santa Gorn and Gorn's helper was one of the highlights of my year this year.
So much fun.
I think we'll see more of us next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Santa Gorn will be back, and his elf, the wonderful Heather Barker, I'm sure will be back with him next year. And thank you so much for that, Heather. I really, really appreciate you saying that. And I'll reiterate your comments. Thank you so much to the community for making this convention so special for me. If you listened to the last episode, you heard me get a little verklempt, a little emo, thanking everybody who helped me with Santa Gorn, and to all the community members who made me feel so loved and welcome. And us, both of us, so loved and welcome, not just me. But it was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful meeting every single person. And I really, really hope that next year I can see each and every one of you again, and we get to meet all the people that we didn't get to meet this year. The faces who didn't get to come, the ones that Heather mentioned earlier that we missed. And I know there was quite a few of you that I was so disappointed to see that you weren't going to be able to make it this year. But a lot of you said you were going to be there next year. So I am going to be there waiting for you. And I'm sure Heather will be standing right next to me waiting for you to get there. So guys, thanks again, of course, for listening to Shore Leave. It's always our extreme pleasure to create this show for you. And we're going to be doing this all the way up until the next convention, too. So I hope you're all here with us for each and every episode. And in the meantime, where can people find you, Heather, online?
I am LLA Posper on Twitter. And then, as I've mentioned way too many times, you and I and our good friend Jesse moderate the unofficial Star Trek Las Vegas Facebook group on Facebook.
Yes, yes, yes. I am Warp Factor Jeff on Twitter. But before we go, I want to quickly throw some of these names out there. And I know we want to make a point to mention a lot of our friends. And they are literally our friends. They're not advertising on the show formally, but we love them so much, and their support for our show has been so important. So I want to just quickly throw out a shout out to Fansets. Love you guys. Mickey Gunter from Make It So. Danny from Shop LLAP. The Trek Geeks guys, Bill and Dan, we love you guys so much. Thank you, everybody, for supporting our show. Dr. Trek, Larry Nemechek, and who am I missing, Heather? Anybody?
Oh, gosh. I think that was the core.
That was the core. Okay.
Core group.
If I missed you, I'm so sorry. And, you know, we love all of you. 5-year mission, we love you guys, too.
We missed you
guys. This year was just not the same without you. God, I hope you're there next year. The convention is not right without 5-year mission on board. So, and I know every single person in this community that I've talked to, that we've heard from, felt the same way. So, if you're looking for us online, you can find us at shoreleavepodcast.com and at shoreleave on Twitter. We'd love to hear more from you, and our unofficial Star Trek Las Vegas Facebook group. You can find us through shoreleavepodcast.com. You can get there. And please join up if you're not a member and you're listening to the show. Please join up and let us know that you heard the show. And we'd love to hear back from you. So we will see you again next time on Shore Leave. It'll be very, very soon. And I hope Yeah, I hope everybody out there is having a wonderful post-convention and nobody's suffering from too bad of a PCD. Heather and I are very, very appreciative of every single one of you, and we'll see you next time on Shortly.
Yeah. Next time, we're talking about Dragon Con.
Right.
So better listen in, because yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, that's a good point, too. Not that we're ending the show, but we are branching out the show to cover more conventions than just STLV. So we're going to keep the show going all year round, and we're going to talk about Trek and other conventions as they come up. So this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that one.
Me too.
Bye, everybody. Hi there, thanks again for listening. If you're cruising the galaxy looking for even more Trek talk, why not visit our good friends Bill and Dan over at TrekGeeks.com? They've got a great podcast that covers a wide range of Star Trek topics, so you're sure to find something you'll love. And if you're in the mood for some awesome tunes, then you really need to head over to 5YearMission.net. The guys are writing a song for every episode of the original series, and each one is absolutely brilliant. So that's TrekGeeks.com and 5YearMission.net. Check them out today.